It's First Take, Your Take here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM channel 80. You get it everywhere. It's that good. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike here with you guys again. You'll be able to check us out full-time starting August 17th, 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio. Very excited about that. But, man, I got to peel back the curtain for you guys. And we got a lot of stuff to get to today. We're going to talk to Heather Dinich, our ESPN senior college football writer and reporter. All the great information on the latest with the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and where college football hangs in the balance right now. But as we get ready, we're getting ready to start a show here. The busiest woman in the world walks into radio today. Chinay is just flying off. I was watching you on First Take as we're getting ready for the show. Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water? How are you right now?
You know, normally I would be like, oh, I'm good. But I'm like, I'm trying to balance a lot right now. And I love First Take. And it's so funny. I went on there trying to defend my African stand, Pascal Siakam, because the Raptors are, you know, obviously overachieving and we're sleeping on him. And they're just, Stephen A. and Max are just ripping on his name, Spicy P. And I'm like, what's wrong with Spicy P? I know it's unconventional, but like, I feel like it's an okay name. So I said, instead of thinking of Spicy P, think of Spicy Progress, because that's all he provides us.
Ooh.
You know, he progresses on the basketball court. And they're like, Chinay, you just made it worse. I was like, come on, guys.
You did make it worse. Like, Spicy P, pretty good nickname. I can rock with that one. Spicy Progress, I don't know if we can go with that one.
No, it wasn't saying as a nickname. I was just trying to say it. Like, when you think of Spicy P, don't think of, like, how the nickname's bad. Think about how this guy is literally killing it on the court with his progress, okay? But I lost that one, but it's okay. It's all right. We're going to recover here, and I'm excited to be here with you today.
There we go. We're excited to have you. And on the NBA front, I got some questions for you coming up in a little bit about what we saw from the Lakers last night, how concerned we should be with the struggles that they had against what seemed like Denver's B team on the court for a lot of time there. But first, we got to get to some Straight Talk, and you can cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only pay up to 50% less, and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Chinay, we talked so much yesterday about what's going on in the world of college football right now as they try and get their season going to see if that's even possible at this point, but a lot of the discussion yesterday, I think, whittled down to this, and I want to ask you this question before we hear from one of the leaders in SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Do you think, based on everything that we've seen, heard from the players, their outcries and all this, that their leadership has failed them, that the NCAA and the Power Five leadership has done right, ultimately, by the players in this?
I would want to originally say, yes, the leadership failed. But at the same time, I don't think they're failing for the wrong reasons. I think they're failing for the right reasons, meaning they want to save a season. They obviously, we know, number one, profits matter. And it's not just for these individuals that are in leadership positions in the universities. It's also for the student, for the athletes. I'm trying to correct myself now because
it's hard, right?
You know, but also for the athletes, because we're losing a lot of sports because there's not that income coming that is driven by college football, college basketball, and that really does help other athletes. So I think their intentions are pure, but their process is not. So I think it has failed because there's been an error that we hopefully the past few years could have, you know, predicted and contained and had a better situation, you know, but we don't have that process. And so now if we lose college football, or at least if it's postponed, it does feel like failure.
You know what? This is good. I have you here as balance, because I tend to, unfortunately, be kind of cynical about this stuff and maybe question the purity of their desires. And you're right. This is always the hardest part for me in acknowledging the situation, is I understand that the revenue from football does benefit from so many people. At the same time, I also look at it and say, well, the potential health and safety risk for this group shouldn't be compromised because of that. And that's something that the players have hinted on there. But you mentioned leadership and what they're trying to do on this one. Greg Sankey, if you're looking for a college football czar, or the closest thing to it, might be that guy, their conference commissioner. He talked and was on Good Morning America the other day and talked about the timeline to make their decision here and what's going into that.
We've been very deliberate in our decision making. We've not put young people in the helmets and pads for practice. We've been thoughtful about what this entire summer may look like. We have moved the start of our season back to September 26th, 3 weeks after the last of our campuses returns, because we're going to be continually monitoring what happens in our communities and our states. Our timeline is really based on the advice of a biostatistician way back in April, said to me, listen, this is a new virus. We have not been through this before. So the longer you take to make decisions, the better information you'll have available to make those decisions. And that has been wise counsel and counsel we've heeded every step along the way.
When Greg Sankey says we've been deliberate, I want to believe him, but at the same time, we have heard the growing chorus of player voices start to pop up around this. And I thought it was interesting that one of the SEC players, we've talked so much about Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, these big voices and names involved in all of this. Chris Owens, who's Alabama's starting center on their football team, tweeted yesterday a long thread and a very worthwhile thread about some of his opinions on these things. He said he didn't want to have a blanket statement. And one of the things that he said in there is the fact that players, 18 to 22-year-old young men, have to call out the leadership in college football's world for guidance at this point is unreal, quite frankly. It's deeper than just the safety concerns at this point. So we know players aren't one monolithic voice, but Chiné and all this, I feel like if you've got someone that feels strongly enough looking at leadership like that, I don't know if I can necessarily say Greg Sankey has operated that way because their players have too many questions still at this point.
There are a lot of questions, and I did sort of, I don't want to say cringe at the language, just because when you say you're deliberate and you're making decisions, yeah, anyone can make decisions. And I know these are tough decisions, but are those the right decisions? And the right decision means you have to take input from the players. And the problem is that they've never had input in this entire process. And now you're expecting them to go out and perform potentially, or even just have a process where you create policies in order to return to play where there's not holistic buy-in. And that's why you see certain, you know, conferences putting opt-outs practically, you know, universally saying we can't put ourselves in this position unless you hear us and we are factored into the equation. So yes, making decisions is great. Making tough decisions is great because that shows leadership. But what also shows leadership is also understanding who your constituents are. And those are the players.
I think that's super important, too, that you said holistically, because right now we're seeing all these conferences band together and try and make decisions for themselves. The Big Ten's meetings apparently just discussed the idea of a spring season for the first time, according to some of the reporting, which seems insane. The Pac-12's got a meeting, I believe, at 1:30 Eastern today. The ACC is going to meet later on this week. The Big 12 is supposedly very on the fence and all this. Like, they're all doing these things
now
on their own now, this late in the game. And when you say deliberate, doing it deliberate is one thing, but you mentioned what the player's voice actually said in this. Universal was one of the words in there. This is directly from the We Want to Play letter that Trevor Lawrence and a number of these players put out. One of the second lines is universal mandated health and safety procedures and protocol among all conferences. These players have said, yes, we want to return to play. Everyone was holding on to that part. They also said, we want to make sure that everyone involved is protected in this. And as all these conferences rely on their own individual doctors and individual medical boards, and don't seem to be sharing that information, it's hard to say you're being deliberate in the ways that matter, Chiné.
And the hardest thing is, like, hearing all of this, these are all the right things that the players are asking. They're asking the right questions. And a lot of people thought, like, oh, they want these things specifically, or no, they can't play this season. That's not the case. I think what we're witnessing right now through the players speaking out, putting out threads or writing for the Players Tribune, whatever that may be, is that they're starting a negotiation process. That is exactly what happens when you unionize. Not saying that there will be, like, obviously we'd hope that there be a union, because the idea is that a union can actually help you solve these problems in real time and reach the players that the leadership don't have relationships to reach, but need necessary input from. So this is the beginning of a negotiation, whether people like it or not. And from this point on, I think something needs to be established where you can troubleshoot in real time. And the problem is where have you been?
Yep.
Where you been? Where you at, though? Like, we were at this point, obviously, where, you know, our season, okay, in the WNBA, our season was supposed to tip, you know, early May. And when we were having these discussions about May, this was in February. This was end of January.
Yep.
And so while every sports leagues were, you know, trying to decide what was happening, where were you? You know, where was the unity? Not on the players, because the players were just doing what they have been conditioned to do and wait and take orders, which is what we do when we play in college, right? But where, that's the question. Where was the leadership? There has been leadership to protect the players through the universities, I think, with specific, you know, new rules for students going to school. I have a younger sister that's going to medical school. She's doing it primarily virtual, and then occasional days going in, I think once every 2 weeks. Like, the universities are trying to create the process for the students to go in and have a safe educational experience, right? Well, these guys are students too. And if on one side, they can see that happening. On another side, you're supposed to be quiet and just sort of wait. Like, that waiting game is what is hurting you, and now it's hurt the game.
And I think that's why, and you've heard so many coaches say, it's too early to pull the plug on this, it's too early to do this or that, we've still got time. I would say this is where leadership has failed in the way that we acknowledge this is difficult and ever-changing. At the same time, I believe that you owed it to the athletes involved here to sort of have a better idea of what was going to happen if, those if-then clauses that were ready for a lot of these situations, to keep them from twisting in the wind in a lot of this the way that they are now.
And it's not just the athletes. It's the fans. The fans that really want football back. I'm one of those fans. I'm falling in love with football. Like, look, I just, you know, I'm not playing this season. I grew up in Cypress, Texas, the suburbs of Northwest Houston. When I used to go, you know, out to my school, I used to see kids running out in little tiny helmets. I could barely walk. Like, Friday Night Lights was my life. And I'm just now falling in love with football. I was looking forward to this NFL season. I was looking forward, which we are optimistic for because we have the Professional Sports League that's advocating on their behalf with negotiations. But, like, I was looking forward to college football. And so, to me, I don't think it's just them failing the student athletes in this time. It's them failing the fans, because the fans, look, if there's anything Return to Play has shown so far, is that we will take whatever we can get. Okay, we will take bubble basketball with no fans and creativity. And I noticed, I knew it was possible. I knew we're heading in the right direction when it came to the NFL, because we had our first draft, the WNBA draft, and it was the first draft out there that had to do something really virtually for the sports. And then next thing you know, we have the NFL draft. And I'm sitting there seeing Roger Goodell with, like, you know, the Zoom meeting behind and the virtual fans. I was like, oh, football is, like, getting ready. They're getting ready. And then, you know, you hear crickets. And if you're a student, you're like, well, if you're an athlete, you're hearing crickets. And then you start, like, the fans deserve better too. And I guess that's the thing. We all deserve better. And we now need to learn from this experience and keep it pushing forward. So do what you have to do to ensure that whether it's getting postponed or if there's a situation where we're even discussing bubbles for future seasons, start the process now. Even though it is late and things might be lost in the moment, they should not be lost in the future. And I guess the leadership aspect here that makes it tough is that there's so many different leaders. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yep.
And we're even dealing with states and government structures where there are different rules and different protocols, which is why a uniformed leader would help.
A uniform
make those decisions.
A uniform leader would be a welcome respite at this point. It's First Take, Your Take here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike here with you guys today. Again, you'll be able to check us out 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern starting next week. But starting right now, we're delighted to be joined by our great ESPN college football reporter, Heather Dinich, who joins us now on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Heather, how are you doing as the news flies fast and furious right now? I feel like I have to ask that question to everyone in college football.
I see her
at this point
on TV every second, just trying. It seems like it's like she's always doing damage control.
I'm literally standing here talking to you guys with my old lady landline on one ear and staring at my cell phone with the other hand.
It is that kind of couple of days here, Heather. So take us inside what you're hearing as the latest. We know that a great deal of the conferences, the ACC, the Big Ten, were meeting in the last couple of days. The Big 12 is slated to meet later today. Where are we at from what we're hearing from the Power Five heads at this point?
So we're waiting right now for some sort of official word to come out of the Big Ten office or via sources, however it might be, whatever decision the Big Ten presidents made today. They started meeting at 10:30 this morning. I have been told that the two most likely options are either pushing the season back to September 26th or pushing it all the way back entirely to the spring. They can land somewhere in between as well. But the reason this has pivoted, at least from my understanding, not just from the Big Ten, but from all of the conferences, we saw the Mountain West cancel, or I should say postpone fall sports as well, is because of the unknowns surrounding the coronavirus pandemic. My question is, what unknowns changed between last week when everyone announced their schedules and today? So, you know, whenever this announcement does come and the decision's final, I think that that's an important question that needs to be asked.
Heather, Taking a big step back, and you're looking at the decision-making happening with each conference, can you give us a little insight into the characteristics of the conferences, maybe the Big Ten, why they are pushing in this direction, or the SEC, or the Pac-12, just so people understand the background and why conferences might be having different conversations individually?
Sure, because college football is a microcosm of what we're seeing nationally in terms of the pandemic and the way it has impacted different geographical regions. And I think the Pac-12 might be the most unique of the Power Five conferences because of the geographic footprint that it's in. And the Mountain West shares some of that. And I talked to their commissioner, Craig Thompson, yesterday about that. And he was saying, look, we have three governors in eight of our states who have said no fans. And that plays a role in the president's decisions. And so when you're looking at the Pac-12, which, you can't throw a dart in the state of California and not hit one of their schools, plus Arizona, that is a big deal because they're making their decisions based on the advice of the medical advisory boards that they have partnerships with. And it's just that information is what's influencing these university presidents, because remember, they have to make decisions for their campuses too as well. And if you're in California and you're struggling to acquire tests, or the turnaround test time isn't accurate enough or isn't fast enough, those are all things that are playing into these decisions, and that may be why at the end of the day we see the Pac-12 make the most drastic move of any of the Power Five.
Talking to Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football reporter, here on First Take, Your Take, with Mike Golic Jr. and Chinne Igwumike. And Heather, while the players, when they came out with their united front the other night, led by Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, said that they were one of their asks was for a universal policy when it came to COVID protocols and health and safety. While they're looking that way, it seems the conferences are all holding fast to their own medical boards and all this. So how did the... and I saw the article from Mark Schlabaugh and others talking about myocarditis, this word that everyone's getting familiar with now, the heart condition that's linked with COVID-19. How has that affected the decision-making recently for a lot of these medical groups?
Well, let me put it this way. I texted one Power Five commissioner and point blank asked, how concerned are you about myocarditis? And the response was very concerned, period. So this is absolutely on their radar. Is it the only thing? No, absolutely not. Shane Lyons at West Virginia, he's chair of the Football Oversight Committee and athletic director there. He told me this week that they have instituted EKGs for all of their student athletes as part of their process during this. And they have West Virginia University Hospital has a place there that if there's something that they need to flag during one of those EKGs, they get another test, and then they get another test. So he's saying, why can't we institute a policy where everyone has to get an EKG? And he wasn't necessarily comparing COVID to sickle cell, but he's saying, as we do to screen student athletes for sickle cell. So there's another side of it as well. But it's certainly one of the issues that has raised concerns and is absolutely on everyone's radar.
Yeah, actually, I am a basketball player, and I know of a player that actually just passed away overseas playing due to myocarditis. And so it is something that is real that a lot of people fear. He's a professional basketball player, young, obviously super tall. So I know there's a lot of genetics that go into it as well, but it is a scary thing that people have to deal with. Now, what impact, Heather, would moving the season to spring have? Spring ball is something we've always sort of enjoyed in a lighthearted manner, but if football season is moving to spring, what can we expect?
Well, there are a lot of questions surrounding that, too. And I actually reached out to one NFL head coach today to ask him that question. And he said that it would definitely affect scouting and the evaluation process. If they play in the spring, then for us, it would certainly push the draft back, I believe. Don't know how it won't. No Senior Bowl or scouting combine. Also, he also texted to me, players will opt out of the spring season to get ready for the draft. No way they play. Now, that's just the NFL take of it. But, I mean, there are so many questions regarding athletes' eligibility and how that would impact the college hoop season. You know, are we talking about having a college football season while March Madness is going on? Because I asked the Mountain West commissioner yesterday, okay, you postpone fall sports, but basketball starts during the fall too. So what does it mean for that sport? And he said, well, we're not making a determination on that yet because we have so much more time until it actually does start. So there are just so many other questions, but I think still the biggest one that everyone keeps going back to is how do we know that anything will be better as far as the pandemic is concerned than it is right this second?
Heather Dinich with us here on First Take, Your Take. And that is the question that hangs over a lot of that process. But the question right now, Heather, and the one I keep coming back to is this, as we've heard certain schools hint at the idea that if their conference won't play, they'll find a way to play somewhere else and with a different conference. If one of the Power Five conferences ultimately decides that they're going to postpone their fall season until the spring, are the rest or would any group of the rest be able to press on somehow in that way, knowing that one in that group has already made that decision?
So it's such a – the fact that we're even talking about this just shows how wild this all is, right? I mean, I feel like we're talking about realignment again. You remember the crazy
– Oh, yeah.
All the crazy conversations. Yeah. But, you know, I asked Greg Sankey, I talked to him this morning, the SEC commissioner, and I asked him if he had heard Scott Frost's comments out of Nebraska, and he said it was brought to his attention late last night, so he had not given it that much thought. But it seemed to indicate that he didn't think it was that feasible. You know, it's legally, I'm sure there are issues surrounding that. I would have to think that that's kind of tough to unravel some of those contracts. But like I said earlier today, if Notre Dame is able to compete for an ACC championship this year, then who knows?
Everything seems to be on the table right now. We're going to wait for all the news to unfold as these meetings are taking place. At CFB Heather on Twitter is where you can follow her. Heather, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. All right, well, a lot to process there from Heather Dinich as she has talked to some of the biggest names in sports. But coming up next, we'll hear from one of the biggest names in college football and whether or not we agree with him that players are safer on campus than at home. We will get to all of that. I'm getting better at timing the beat up now. I feel like maybe it was listening. If anyone missed it, the end of last segment, listening to Chinne Igwumike beatbox us to break.
Yes.
Probably the highlight of my radio career so far with you, Chinne. I feel like we're starting to really hit our stride.
I think we really are. I think we're staying on beat, staying in formation.
Staying.
I got you. I got your back always.
That's what I appreciate. When things go wrong here, when the ish hits the fan and all that one, and I made sure to over-enunciate that one. We're good. We got each other's backs. That we being Mike Golic Jr., Chinne Igwumike here with you guys on First Take, Your Take here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You will hear us starting full-time, 4 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday, August 17th, starting on Monday. And we're both jacked up for that, certainly, in a lot of that one. But, you know, we figure we give everyone a little taste going into this week. And, Chinne, I think we might have bit off more than we could chew because I did not realize that the whole college football world was going to, for days on end, go this haywire. So I feel like we're really jumping into the deep end.
We are jumping into the deep end, and I thought it was going to be like a nice little warm-up. We'll be able to, you know, discuss our lives, our journeys. Everyone can get to know us. Nope. Swerve. We're out here in the deep end where college sports, poof, we don't know what's going to happen. Bubbles popping, or are they staying good? Like, there's a lot of things to address, but the good thing is these are good problems because we're all trying to get back to sports. So
exactly. We're trying to get back to sports, and thankfully this is an area where, and this is going to be especially relevant to this next conversation because I think what we're looking at now is we just talked to Heather Dinich about all of the different meetings going on right now among the college football heads. Is when you keep zeroing in, you enhance, and you focus in on these places and these upper echelon schools, you see a different picture than around the rest of college football. I want to read you this quote, Chinne, from Nick Saban. He was talking to ESPN's Chris Lowe about player safety in all of this, since that's what it really boils down to. And he was asked, Are players safer on campus than at home? And Nick Saban pushed back against the idea that players are more at risk of contracting the virus if college football is played this fall. He said, I want to play, but I want to play for the players' sake, the value that they can create for themselves. I know it'll be criticized no matter what I say, that I don't care about player safety. Look, players are a lot safer with us than they are running around at home. We have around a 2% positive ratio on our team since the 4th of July. It's a lot higher than that in society. We act like these guys can't get this unless they play football. They can get it anywhere, whether they're at a bar or just hanging out. So, Chinay, I think as we look at this, I don't discount that especially the people close to these situations care a lot about the safety of their players in all of this. But they've also been doing this without the other members of campus there in a lot of this. And I think we have to factor that into the equation that it's sort of been like a bubble up until now.
I agree with Nick Saban in the sense that I do think that athletes are safer on campus just because we know when they're on campus and if they're going to compete, they're not going to have exposure to what they normally would be exposed to, whether it's being at home, running around with family and friends and having your freedom to do as you choose. When you come on campus, we know what that's like. You know, it is a grind. And also with this pandemic, there are going to be real consequences if you step out of line. Normally it's like, all right, I didn't turn this in on time. I may have messed up on this test. So now our team has to run extra sprints. No, there's going to be a real penalty if you choose to step outside of what is accepted for sports to return. In this case, it's college football. So I understand what he's saying, but I also know that he's at the top of the mountain. And not all athletics departments or even just specifically teams have the resources of an Alabama. And so that's where things get a little bit more difficult when you're negotiating with colleges on how to house them in a safe manner and transport them in a safe manner. That requires money. That requires a lot of processes in place. So in theory, yes, because I see it happening with my sister in the WNBA bubble. Likely safer just because they get tested once a day, and it's literally if there's a false positive, they get retested, they get relocated until that, you know, it's a safe scenario, much safer than the rest of the world. But the thing is, we have not had that systemic idea within each university where there's a protocol that we know is going to happen because each university is different, and which is why, you know, the players are all asking for these type of things in place. So well,
yeah,
I get it.
And the players are looking for universal policy to that point. They're the ones saying we want our counterparts at these universities taken care of because we know at the top 25 institutions in college athletics, and thankfully you and I were able to be a part of two very well-endowed institutions that have a lot of money to help with these things, you know you're going to be taken care of. I thought it was really interesting yesterday you talked about that accountability basically of saying there are consequences for your actions and all this. Ohio State's Twitter account posted a video of Jonathan Cooper, one of their captains on the football team, addressing their team after practice, saying, and he's a fifth-year senior, he's a guy, he said, for me, this is easy, the idea of staying away from parties, wearing a mask, practicing all the safe practices associated with this, because what we're doing here matters a lot to me in all this. And it matters a lot, and he said, to our team, to our goal of what we want to do, and he said, so young guys going out here trying to, you know, be out at the club, do all these things, he goes, you hurt more than just yourself. And that's an idea that I think everyone can get behind because in sports, we're used to operating like that. The problem is everyone else who had a chance to create a safe environment outside of these college bubbles in these communities where there are hotspots going right now didn't keep that same energy. And they're the same people saying, yeah, we need college sports to go. You expect it from the players, but very few people are willing to hold themselves accountable for that same cause.
Okay, Junior, let's go there. Let's go there and let's be real. Obviously, what we heard was the voice of a real leader trying to motivate his team to win a championship in this pandemic, right? Okay.
Yep.
Now we need to decide. Do you think that college kids and college young men and women, let me correct myself, are going to be disciplined enough to follow every rule on campus? Because we're seeing situations not from just young guys in the bubble, but also from vets. We had a lemon pepper situation, even though that one is to be argued. You know what I mean?
Because yeah.
It was a food pickup. It was a food pickup, apparently.
It's a highly acclaimed restaurant.
That's the hardest part for me to understand. I think if there's a penalty where that person that makes a mistake cannot jeopardize anyone else, right? But that is a huge system to put in place for people that are just fresh out of high school, 17, 18, 18 to 21, 22. There are a lot of temptation, especially on campus when everyone is there. So
I think that's the best point, is people forget all of the assumptions that we make about these teams right now and how great it's been for everyone are made before the other, in some cases, 20 or 30,000 students return to campus in a lot of these places. But it's also worth noting in this that people have mentioned it's safer for them here rather than going back home. None of the credible reporting I've seen has indicated that if there was no fall football season, players would be sent home. They would still be able to stay on campus. They would still, in theory, have access to these same facilities. If there is any ethics left in this system at all, man, if the minute they lose their earning potential, you're willing to just cast them back out into the world to not house them or take care of them on campus, you really expose all of this for what it is. And so I think based on everything we've heard, players would still be on campus, but who knows if they're getting as much testing and all this. But to your point, when you introduce the rest of the students, we still don't know how that mix works. That's why places like Notre Dame are interesting to watch, because students came back to campus yesterday.
Oh, Notre Dame is automatically in a bubble. I'm not going to lie. Am I going to throw some shade at your university?
Because
I knew. Okay, so what happened was I took a visit to UConn, took a visit to Stanford, and I flew into South Bend in the middle of the winter. And I guess this is where the truth serum comes out.
Uh-oh.
I knew I wasn't going when I landed, because I was like, where am I? And so South Bend, Notre Dame, let's go Fighting Irish, because guess what? They're built for the bubble. It's a little bit more isolated, right? But when you have a lot of college universities that are the big parts of their big cities, that's going to be harder to manage. But I'm sorry for throwing shade. I love the Fighting Irish.
No. You know what? Listen, it's understandable. Like, South Bend is a little bit remote in all this. But what you brought up, too, is interesting. Like, South Bend being built for this. So Notre Dame tested all of their students when they returned to campus. Now,
what was it? What were the findings?
And they had a very low positivity rate, which was good. But their ability to do so is in part based on the fact that it's a private institution that's got 8,500 undergrad.
Yes.
I don't know if this same thing is possible at state schools, state-funded schools that have markedly more students coming back to it. I don't know if that's going to be uniform across the board. And so even that is another example of the disparity in all of this when you zoom in on individual campuses, individual conferences, and the like.
Yep. It's going to be an interesting challenge for each, but I think this is where we see the real discipline come out, because I think it's hard to imagine that there's going to be perfection in any scenario. I know we're seeing a lot of negative tests coming out of the NBA and the WNBA, but still, like, we're dealing with thousands of players, and so that's going to be a whole different ball game. And the coolest thing about this whole, you know, blessing in disguise new age version of what we're playing, you know, what we're doing professionally, is now it's like teams have to handle that adversity additionally. Normally you have the adversity of going through an entire season and dealing with, what is it, injuries and just, you know, tough losses and learning your chemistry as you go. Now it's like, okay, this player was not disciplined, and you might be without your quarterback, or you might be without your running back. And that's why this, if sports comes back in a way that, you know, the next fall sports collegiately, people have the opportunity, that champion is the champion, because they persevered in a situation that was unprecedented.
Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. You mentioned being able to survive some of those different things around this current sports environment. LeBron James has talked a lot about that recently. So coming up next, in addition to more of this college football news, I want to ask you how concerned you are with the Lakers, and do we think Kyle Kuzma could actually cross up Jesus? We'll get to that next. First, take your take here on ESPN Radio.
Prayers up.
Whew. All right. We get to slowly, like, pull ourselves out of the college football deep end right now for a minute to come up for air. Mike Gold Jr., Chinay Agbumike here with you guys on First Take Your Take. And Chinay, after I got, you know, out of college football Twitter, which was a hellscape yesterday.
I'm surprised you even made it out.
I didn't feel like I was going to make it out for a while. I went off a little bit yesterday. I think I had a keeping it real goes wrong moment with Twitter yesterday.
Wait, what happened?
I just, you know, I got a little too upset because I get tired of people, you know. I saw yesterday that Ohio State posted its senior captain, his senior captain, Jonathan Cooper, making the statement to the team about, we got to be accountable to each other and we got to do right so that we can have what we want in this goal for a season. And people under it saying, this is leadership, this is what we look for and all of that. But when we asked the same things of larger society, everyone said, well,
they
I'm not comfortable.
Keep that same energy.
No, everyone wants to operate out of their own comfort and self-interest and only laud it when it comes to sports. So I had to keep it a little too real with some people on that one yesterday. But when I got to pull out of that one, Shanae, I was watching the NBA last night, and I was watching what ended up being a really weird game between the Nuggets and the Lakers last night. Like, what did you make of this? Because I'm watching the, yes, the Lakers pulled out and got a win off a cool shot from Kyle Kuzma that we'll talk about, but this team has struggled, especially offensively, since they've gotten into the bubble.
They've struggled making threes. They've struggled finding their games collectively. They've struggled finding their games individually. I know we saw that crazy performance from Anthony Davis in the first game back of the restart, but then, you know, it's sort of been here or so, here or there, which, you know, to me, I'm an optimist. I think it's good because now he's going to see different looks that could potentially be seen in the playoffs. So yeah, like a little adversity now does not hurt. LeBron is LeBron, so he's always going to handle his business. But I love most aspects of what happened with Kyle Kuzma. I love how the big shot, like, he was ready for it. He's like, my name got called, I was ready. That was tough. Like, coming off, first of all, that was a misdirection play. And then coming off of that, nice little handoff. 2 seconds, not even 2.2 seconds to get your feet set. Nothing but net. Like, that was tough. But also tough was hearing him invoke. Invoke someone else's name.
In
someone's name.
In the name
way
of Jesus.
Way higher than all of us. That was so on brand, though.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Kyle Kuzma invoking a higher power. So, as you mentioned, it was a great after timeout play there. Excellent job by Frank Vogel and company coming out with that one. But here was Kyle Kuzma after the game talking about his game winner.
I think Jesus could be in front of me, and I'll probably still shoot. So, I mean, it don't really matter to me. Just got an open look. It's a play that we kind of ran and practiced a few times, you know, prior to the restart. And, you know, coach had faith in me and just called my number, and I, you know, paid off.
It took Jesus three days to beat death. And you think you're going to beat him in a seven-game series?
Look, that's the song we needed, because Jesus coming back with a vengeance. Like, Jesus is undefeated. Okay, so I don't know why you want to take a shot over Jesus, but I understand what he was saying. Bol Bol was guarding him.
Yo.
Bol Bol is 7'2". But, like, we could even scrap this whole segment with the Lakers and just talk Bol Bol. Bol Bol is so much fun to watch. Now, I know it's basically, like, his genetics, but it's also his skill set combined with those crazy genetics. Yeah, so I think it was a nice little combination of that shot, what he said about it, Bol Bol, the Lakers, and then even the virtual crowd going crazy, which was fun to watch.
It was. It made for a great atmosphere on that one. I have two t-shirt ideas coming off this. Instead of Jesus walks, I think we go Jesus travels on that one in honor of everyone in the NBA.
Stop it.
And then we have to get a Bol So Hard t-shirt made.
Look,
through all of this. He deserves it. We want it. We need it. We're going to get that done and fix all of college football's problems next here on First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.